more details to that. And then the third cycle, we put just a few more details after that. The reason that we decided, the elders decided to do this in this class, in this quarter, is because starting next quarter, this class, along with all of our kids' classes, are going to be studying the same material. And it'll be 4 years of the same material in this class and in all of our classes back there. And this material is based on the 17 periods of Bible history. So this quarter is designed to get this outline, this 17 periods, in our minds as a nice broad structure and outline of what we're going to be studying for quite some time. As all of you who are, you know, been worshiping here for some time know, our kids have been doing this program, this structure, for, like we talked about, for quite some time, for 20, 25 years, something like that, back in our classes. So our kids that are coming up through this know this material really well. What we're doing is trying to catch up everyone else with this same structure, the same material. As Tracy pointed out, when we started this, the people in the congregation here have changed. Some have gone on, some are new, and there's only like 20, maybe 30% who went through that material in the beginning. So we're going through that again. And the purpose of this, and to see this outline and the way this is organized, is to see the Bible as one complete story. You know, it's pretty easy to miss that point. For some of us, it's like, we'll think, well, yeah, of course. But I'm telling you, even for me when I was growing up, that wasn't, I didn't understand that. And I know a lot of people that you come across don't understand that kind of simple point, that this is one complete story. And, you know, our purpose in knowing this is not just for the knowledge of it. It's not just for the cerebral aspect of it. The purpose is for us to know God's plan for us. And it's God's plan for redemption. And as we find out, as we go through this, God's had this plan from the beginning. And we can see that really clearly as we go through this. And I hope you do as we study through it. This is kind of a reset for us, in a sense, you know, here for Eastside, for the adults anyway. And it's to prepare us for these classes that we'll be studying and doing for the next several years. It is designed as a structure, as a broad outline that we can then add more detail, more facts, more information upon this broad 17 period outline. So here it is for you that were here previously. We're going over this, and I'm purposefully kind of going slow through this because I know for some of us it is tough to get some things memorized at different ages in life. It can be more difficult than at other ages. I'm finding that out more and more. So I'm purposefully slowing this down because one of my goals is after just a couple more classes of this, and at the end of this quarter, everyone will be able to say this, all right, and be able to have these in memory. And then, you know, going next quarter, we start with Genesis, right? So we start from the very beginning, with the first period of Bible history. So knowing this outline is going to pay off for the next years and for a lifetime, in my opinion. Okay, so just in brief, as we get ready to get started here, the 17 periods, you can say them silently or out loud for now. Before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. All right, excellent. So, for a couple of minutes here, let's do our game that we all have come to love. All right. We won't do them one at a time. We'll have to make a little bit better use of our time here. All right. I'll choose the first one. All right. I'll choose the first couple. All right. Letters to the Christians. We're going to take it off the board. And we'll take early church. All right. So into the New Testament there. All right. So let's take off the first two as well. I think y'all know those. Before the flood and the flood. All right, first two and the last two. All right, before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. That's all. If you know the song, the kids know the song, and these are the Bible periods. All right. Actually, Wes Sharp volunteered that the kids know the song with it and the motions, and so he's going to... No, I'm just kidding. But if you come early tonight, you could see that with the kids' classes up here. All right. Okay. Let's go for a couple more. Who wants to choose a couple? Todd, choose three. Numbers. All right. Three, scattering of the people. All right. There it goes. Todd knows these. Three, 7, and 11. Invasion and conquest. All right. And Judah alone. All right. Before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. All right. Cameron, pick three more. Five. Exodus. Nine. United Kingdom. And what was your last one? 13. Return from captivity. All right. There we go. All right. Before the flood, scattering of the people, patriarchs, Exodus. Excellent. Mr. Dustin, three more. Four patriarchs, eight judges, and 12 captivity. Whew. All right, getting tougher. Before the flood. Wonderful. All right. And Mr. Andy, three more. Actually, there's only four left. Why don't we just get all four of them then? That's what you say, right? You've got these down. I'm just saying. Nice. There they go. All right. Before the flood. Excellent. Fantastic. Now, one of the things that I wanted to also kind of go over, because, you know, talking to a few after, you know, we've done this for a couple of classes. So when you get stuck on one, right, and you forget one of these, how do you get to the next one without going and looking? Is there a way to kind of figure out in your mind which one comes next if you've forgotten one of them? It's an exercise, and it's in the first cycle here in the handouts that will help if you can kind of remember these things, because some of these stories are going to be very familiar with a lot of us. So let's look at these links that will kind of help remember going from one to the next. All right. So everything before the flood, creation and such. But what happens during that time period that leads to the next period, the flood? They grow exceedingly wicked, right? And God decides to destroy them. Therefore, he finds one righteous man, Noah, and he decides to save him and his family from the flood, which is going to destroy everyone, everything, except what God preserves on the ark. Then, as the flood subsides, Noah's family comes out of the ark, and they live, they begin to multiply. Remember, they go and they settle in the plains of Shinar, and in that place, they begin growing and become larger and larger and larger, and they settle in one place, which is not what God's intention and purpose for them is. And so, as they build this tower to, you know, kind of solidify them and stay in one place, God thwarts that plan, and he scatters them by confusing their language. So the period of scattering of the people, when they start moving out. Well, one of these peoples, one of these descendants, is Shem, from Noah's descendants or sons. Shem settles in Mesopotamia, and this is where we meet Abraham's family. They live in Ur of the Chaldees there. And so we begin the period. Abraham becomes our link into the period of the patriarchs. So before the flood, scattering of the people, and now the patriarchs. Those are familiar with many of us. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, one of Jacob's sons, Joseph, he brings the family down into Egypt, and they're in bondage there in Egypt, and as slaves there, God decides to deliver his people out of Egypt, and we have the period of the Exodus. So, during this period of the Exodus, they grow into a large people, and God preserves them and brings them out of Egypt. And as they come out of Egypt, God gives them, He makes them His people during this time frame, during this time in Egypt. He makes them His people. He gives them a covenant. They agree to the covenant, right? And we have that, all that happening at Mount Sinai as they have exited out of Egypt with signs and miracles. They after they've been at Mount Sinai for about a year, and they're a people, they're God's people, God's chosen people. God leads them, and they come up to ready to go into the land, the promised land. God's giving them the land, and then they're afraid. They're not confident. They don't have the trust in God for that, and so they refuse to go in. And God punishes them because they do not trust Him, even though they have made this covenant with Him to follow Him. So they refuse to go in, and God causes them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because this people, they won't go into the land. They don't trust Him. So God has said, okay, then you're not going into the land. And all of those 20 and above, 20 years old and above, they're never going to see it. They're going to live their life. They're going to die in this wilderness over this time frame of wandering in the wilderness. So they wander in the wilderness, and those people pass on. They die in the wilderness through various means during this time period. And then finally, they are ready to, it's time to go into the land again. And this time, they go up the east side of the Jordan. They conquer the nations on the east side. If you're thinking about your map, they go up the east side of the Jordan and they conquer the lands over there, the kings, Sihon and Og. They take them. So they've conquered that area. They cross over into the land over the Jordan. They hit Jericho, and God's miraculous giving them that city. They go into Ai, and then the whole central campaign. They take out most of all of the cities there in the central, and then the southern, and then the northern, the invasion and conquest of the land that God has given them. God gives it to them. Now, what was the problem? What was the thing that Israel did not do that God had told them to do? And that was to utterly destroy the peoples that were there. The peoples there had been wicked, and God's giving that land that they had to the people of Israel, to His chosen people now, those people had been so wicked, they weren't going to get to stay there. He was giving it to His people who've now made a covenant with Him and even reiterated and recommitted themselves to this covenant. And they go into this land and He's giving it to them, conquering, but they don't fully accomplish and do what God has said to do. They leave peoples there. They leave cities. They leave the original inhabitants, they leave those people, the Canaanites, they leave them in this land. And as a result of that, Israel is influenced by these people and their false gods and their religions. They're influenced by that, and it brings on a cycle where the Israelites will go into their religions and their false gods, and they will leave God and the commitment that they had made to Him, and then they'll go in and God will punish them for that to try to bring them back to Him. He'll discipline them and try to bring them back. And it will work because as they are in misery and being persecuted, conquered by these other, you know, the former inhabitants that are still there, as God brings in these people and they kind of take over, you know, the Israelites will cry out to God in misery and in their despair. They'll cry out to God. They will repent and they will change. And as God sees this change, that they want to go back to this relationship with Him, God sends them a deliverer. And that's the word that we would tend to use as really what is in the period of the judges. The judges are these deliverers who come in and bring and lead the people back to God. And so this cycle happens during the period of the judges for many years. And, you know, all the judges that come through. So, but in the days of the last judge, Samuel, the people finally, they decide they want to look like all of these other nations that are in the land. They didn't get rid of them. That was the thing. They did not follow God's commands in this. And now they want to look like, they want a king like all of these other nations. And in doing that, God sort of finally says, okay, you're going to get your king. And God gives them the king. And we enter the period of United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom, He gives them a king. He looks like a king. He kind of acts like a king, like all the other kings around them. He's not a great king for them, Saul. So he leads them, and they're not the better off for it by any means. But the next king God gives them is David. Saul, then David. David, God gives them David as the king. David, he was a man after God's own heart. It's almost as if God was giving them Saul, here, you want a king? Take this one. That's the kind of way I think about it. But then the second king, David, he was a man after God's own heart. This is God's, who God would put for them as a king. And David was, and he led them. He wasn't perfect, but he had a heart to follow God. And then his son Solomon followed up. And with Solomon's sons, the problems came and became severe. And the severity of it is displayed because the kingdom was no longer united. The kingdom split completely in two, to the north and the south. So the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. Israel exists, the kingdom in the north exists for a shorter amount of time than the southern kingdom in Judah. And the reason for that is because in Judah, the southern kingdom, they follow God more so during their time than the kings of Israel up in the north. Up in the north, it was just bad king after bad king after bad king who just kept leading the people further and further and further away from God and into, you know, just the false gods, the other things, their own desires and wants. The kingdom in the north just kept going further and further away until finally God says, no more. And that enters the time of, for them, of captivity. They go off. So the northern kingdom is invaded by Assyria. Assyria comes in, conquers them, carries them away into captivity. Israel's gone. never to be really seen again. That leaves Judah alone in our next period. So once Israel falls, the southern kingdom, Judah, still there, still has some good kings for a while, but their decline was just more slowly because they did have several kings who were good. And so they lasted longer. Their decline was slower. So, but after time, the final kings were not good for them and led them away. And God also then allowed them, made them go off and allowed another nation to come in and conquer that southern kingdom. This was the Babylonian Empire that came in and took out Judah. So now the north is gone. Judah's left alone. Judah's now gone. And we've entered that time of captivity. This was prophesied about. Jeremiah told them this is what's going to happen. It was all laid out for them, had they cared to read about it, which they really weren't caring much about what God said, for the most part, as a people. But they were in captivity for a time. But they were then, after the prophesied time, Jeremiah told them, this is going to happen, 70 years. This is what's going to happen. But then after that time period, they do return. They're allowed to go back. And so a remnant returns back to Judah, back to the land of Canaan. And they return. And so now there is... They're back into the land that God had given them. Now, it does not look, nor does it have much of a appearance as to the grand promised land that God had given them before, because now, because of sin, they're back in their land, but man, they're kind of a messed up people, you might say. But they're back in their land, as God had prophesied. And Amos, one of the prophets, he said, there's a time now that God's not going to say anything. All right? That there's just going to be, there's not going to be any more revelations. There's not going to be more prophecies. Because this time, how many prophets did we have during these times? You know, dozen, right? I mean, just a lot of prophecies and prophets telling them what God's will is and what's going to happen and so forth. But now, there's not going to be anything. That lasts for about 400 years during this silence. And that silence was broken when John the Baptist comes on the scene and he begins prophesying about Jesus. And then we have the life of Christ, all of his work, the fulfillment of God's will in sending his son to give us salvation and redemption. And from that, he establishes his church, and that occurs in the period of the early church. And as Christians go everywhere preaching, they establish churches, and Paul and others keep in contact and encourage and strengthen and give instruction through the Holy Spirit. And these letters go out to all the Christians in these other churches. So the point of this is when you get stuck, which it happens to me, you can kind of think about these links that are listed here and kind of think your way. Instead of just going immediately to look at the list, try to think and reason, okay, what comes after. Some of them are easy. Captivity, the next one is return, right? They get out of captivity. But for example, the patriarchs, what happens? You got the patriarchs, what comes next? We got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they go into Egypt, they leave, okay, they leave, then, okay, Egypt, Exodus. And you kind of work yourself into and figuring it out with these links and such. So I hope that helps with that. Now, so that's the first cycle, just learning those. The second cycle that we've talked about is the periods of and adding these events in there, right? And those are what Scott and others have gone through. I'm not going to take the time to go through this, but we're gonna add information. We're gonna add these major kind of events and items under each of those, right? And one of the other things that I wanted to, we got just a couple more minutes, and that is when we're studying or we're listening to sermons and we're in classes, it's helpful to know where we're studying, right? About, you know, we might get into one of the prophets or something in the Old Testament, and you think, okay, well, where is this in the 17 periods? Where does this fall? And one of the things in the last cycle that I did to help me was because some of the things that may be more unfamiliar for us is where do the prophets fit in to these, right? I mean, can you think of, okay, where does Jeremiah fit in these 17 periods? Where did he prophesy, right? So I sort of included that kind of information. And you'll notice that a lot of the prophets and things occurred during, you know, past the during the kingdoms. And some of them overlap. So don't take this as, you know, they only worked or lived during a single period. But Jeremiah, for example, he was during the divided kingdom. He was prophesying, but a lot of his work was during the captivity and leading up to the captivity. The same for Daniel. Daniel's life during that time frame. So Ezekiel as well. So in that last, you know, a few pages of your outline, you can kind of start thinking about, okay, this is where these prophets, you know, you can kind of fit them in. Return from captivity. Look how many prophets were prophesying during this time. Why were there so many prophets here and not elsewhere? You know, kind of one of those big questions. We might think of an answer and hypothesize why God did this. But what was going on? They were leaving God. He was trying to bring them back. He was trying to get them. And they were resistant, to say the least. But there was lots of God telling them what He wants through these prophets. So we have them, the Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Nehemiah, Malachi. God was talking to His people specifically and intimately, you know, during these time frames. So anyway, that's kind of a help there. One other thing I thought, you know, in this, what two or three periods might you think of was God doing, showing Himself and manifesting Himself to His people, maybe we could say the most? When was there a ton of miracles done and things, extraordinary things done? Two really large that are recorded that tell us, you know, the exact things. Two time periods were during, I'll just go back to the list, but two of those time periods seems to be the Exodus, right? the Exodus, during Egypt, wow, there was a lot. God was showing a ton of stuff there, wasn't he, to his people? So what was he doing? He was showing them who he was, who he is. And to convince them that, hey, being in a relationship, this relationship that I want, he's convincing them to be in this relationship during that time, right? A lot of miracles during this time. When was the other time when there was a lot of miracles and things going on? During Christ's life, right? Why? Because he's showing us and the people that, hey, this has been my plan. It is accomplished. And this is what I've done to do that. And he was miracles upon miracles upon miracles to show everyone his power, what he could do, and why he was doing it. So, all right, we'll continue on with this next time. So thank you all for your participation.